All right, now we're going to start broadcasting. Hi, I wanted to welcome everybody to our second town hall meeting to discuss vacation rentals and in specific our talk about our locational issues in the Tahoe Basin. We've got with us a great staff again today. I've got Brendan Ferry and Jennifer French, Roger Rinkle, and Rob Peters here. And we'll be doing a presentation. If you have any questions, you can always use your chat, and we'll try to get back to you any of those questions. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and send this over to Jennifer, and she can start with the presentation.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Supervisor Novosel, you want to give me a nod if you can see my screen right now?
I can, yes. Thank you.
Okay, great. Just making sure. So welcome, everyone, to the second town hall. I'm just going to go through kind of our plan for this evening. So we got an introduction from Supervisor Novosel. We are going to give a little bit more background than what I gave last time. I was assuming that we had a very similar crowd to who we've had in the past on this call, but given some of our questions and comments, I thought I'd just kind of do a run through to remind everybody kind of the basics of vacation home rentals in El Dorado County and just give kind of a overview of where we've been that was just a little more detailed than what I gave in the first town hall about a month ago. Then we are going to review the survey results that we got from all of you participants from the last meeting. And based on some of those comments, and I hope everyone was able to access the VHR webpage. All of the results, including the comments, are available there. And so we wanted to address just a couple of questions that we saw a lot of from the group. It won't be comprehensive. We won't be able to address everything tonight. But there are a couple things that we thought we could go over. Brendan's going to go through the TRPA framework again that we reviewed last meeting. And then I have COVID-19 here on our agenda because I have been getting some questions, I think probably a lot of people have, about when the county is reopening for vacation home rentals. So we'll touch on that, and I have a resource to share. And then we'll discuss kind of our next steps from here, and we'll do the same panel discussion style as we did last time, where we'll use the chat function and hopefully get to as many questions and comments as we can before there's, you know, things we need to go back and research, et cetera. So first, I just wanted to go over what is a VHR. We use that term for vacation home rental in other jurisdictions, including through TRPA, they use short-term rental. So in our ordinance, in just the unincorporated area of El Dorado County, a vacation home rental is one or more dwelling units. It's a unit rented for the purpose of overnight lodging for a period of not less than one night and not more than 30 days. And our current zoning does not define a VHR as an activity that's prohibited in residential areas. And it does not, this ordinance does not apply to hosted room stays. So I think I mentioned this last time, but renting one bedroom of your home or a portion of your home does not make your activity subject to the VHR ordinance. And again, there's that code chapter if you are interested in hosting through a vacation home rental. All of the rules and regulations are in that county ordinance code chapter 5.56. And available on the VHR website as well. We allow this use without a conditional use permit. So there might be some confusion there because this is somewhat of a commercial use, but we've determined it to be also a residential use. So you don't need a conditional use permit. You do need a business license, a transient occupancy tax registration certificate, and a VHR permit through our planning department. So our ordinance applies only to the unincorporated area of the county. So we always have quite a few folks here from within the city of South Lake Tahoe city limits or from various other jurisdictions around Lake Tahoe. And just a note that this ordinance only applies to the unincorporated area of the county. Those other cities and counties have their own ordinance. And our ordinance seeks to balance benefits of vacation home rentals with their impacts on neighborhoods and public services. So we know that there are substantial economic benefits to having VHRs available in our county. We bring in a lot of transient occupancy tax through them, so they are important in that respect. And then we also recognize that there are impacts to neighborhoods and public services due to these uses. So our ordinance limits occupancy. It requires on-site parking, and as part of your application, you would submit that in your application packet to show that you have adequate parking. It requires a local contact person that has to be available 24/7 while you're renting your VHR. And it requires notification to the occupants. There's a substantial amount of information that that the host must post within the VHR to notify any occupants of local laws, and that's in order to reduce issues with noise and solid waste, et cetera. And then finally, it sets forth fines for violations of the ordinance. So to recap our efforts so far, starting in 2018, we put together an ad hoc committee, and it was Supervisor Novosel and then the District 4 Supervisor. And the direction from the full board was to study this issue and return to the board with recommendations to change the ordinance. So through that, the ad hoc committee recommended and the board approved some substantial changes to the ordinance. This was including beginning to calculate occupancy at 2 persons per bedroom plus 2 rather than plus 4, establishing quiet hours from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m., and notifying neighboring residents of VHR permits issued. The fines for violations were also increased, recognizing that a lot of the issues that neighborhoods have was that the enforcement aspect of that. So we focus on increasing those violation fines, both to hopefully bring everyone into compliance with the ordinance, as well as to help fund our program. And the new ordinance also fines the entity directly responsible for the violation. So there are fines for owners as well as for renters, kind of depending on the situation. We also have several new requirements for the applications. We require fire and life safety features, an inspection of the vacation home rental by local fire districts, and our local contacts or property managers have to register with the county and take an online course and pass a test certifying that they understand the ordinance and will enforce it. So we went back to the board in 2019, in March and in November. In March, the board approved the addition of staff to the Planning and Building Department in order to begin fully implementing the permitting and enforcement activities. The board also directed that staff return with options for reducing the number or density of vacation home rentals in the Tahoe Basin at that time. And as we discussed in the last town hall, we are still looking at that, but we now have this new added dimension with the TRPA regulations that that came out around that that November update. And I wanted to go back to this graphic that we showed quite a lot when we had the ad hoc committee together and we were doing outreach during that time. So these are the goals and objectives that the ad hoc committee set out with. The goal was a set of modernized policies and enforcement methods that retain the benefits of vacation home rentals, prevents or mitigates the impact on neighborhoods, and minimizes their impact on public services. And we really focused a lot on that first objective, improve neighborhood compatibility. The reason for that was that we heard that a lot of the issues were related to noise. That was number one. There were concerns about traffic, about litter in neighborhoods. And what we heard over and over again was, you know, put something in place, make sure you can enforce it, and that will really help with the program and reduce complaints, because if vacation home rental guests aren't seen and heard in the same way that they have been in the past, then relations with the neighborhood will really improve. However, there was a second objective there, to avoid overconcentration of VHRs and commercialization of neighborhoods, because that was sort of the other dimension of complaints that we have received on these uses. And then this circle graphic that you see here, policy, implement, slash enforce, and evaluate, this is just really basically what we're constantly doing at the county when we're looking at policy. We kind of try something out using our knowledge of best practices and what the community is looking for, and then we implement that and enforce any regulations, and then we're constantly evaluating what we have and making sure it's working well. So it's just kind of a reminder that whatever we do relating to this policy arena, we will constantly be evaluating it and working to see what needs to change. And then this is a little bit deeper into that objective two, and these are really all kind of prongs of that issue that we heard from residents. And a lot of this, many people might not agree with, but we just wanted to put it out here because I've gotten a lot of questions about what is really the issue here? What's the problem? You know, I manage properties, or I'm a property owner, and, you know, we do a really good job with our renters. We vet them. We make sure they contact us if there's any problems. We make our contact information available to neighbors, and we don't know what the problem is. So here is kind of what went into that objective number two, avoid over-concentration of VHRs and commercialization of neighborhoods, which we will hopefully be tackling going forward with the TRPA regulations and just honoring our original intent in studying this issue. So now I'm going to hand it over to Brendan. Actually, I had just one more note on that kind of compliance piece. I just want to note that we the board did approve an agreement with Host Compliance yesterday, and they will be helping with enforcement activities going forward. Actually, their contract doesn't start until July 1st, but we'll have them on board so we can hopefully use them both to give us more information on different policies that other jurisdictions are using and best practices, and kind of fill in any gaps in knowledge we might have working in El Dorado County. And then, of course, their main focus will be to help us with enforcement activities. So go ahead, take it away, Brendan.
Okay, thanks, Jennifer. Good evening, everyone. This is Brendan Ferry. I'm a planning manager in the Lake Tahoe office for El Dorado County. And I'm going to go over the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency's new neighborhood compatibility program for you. I did speak about this at the last webinar in some detail. I'm going to be a little more abbreviated this evening, but again, we're not sure how many folks were on the last webinar, so this provides some good context to support why we're so interested in looking at the locational criteria. So Jennifer, if you could go to the next slide. Okay, so as you can see, on October 23rd of 2019, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, or TRPA's governing board, adopted a code amendment to add short-term rental. And as Jennifer mentioned, that's the term that TRPA uses, which is exactly the same as a vacation home rental. Neighborhood compatibility as a third criterion to the performance review system for the distribution of residential allocations. And there's the code section. And there's quite a few terms there, so I'm going to go ahead and try to define a few of those. The code amendments were developed by a working group that included local government and housing committee members and other representatives from neighborhoods, environmental groups, the real estate community, building industry, etc., really trying to provide kind of a balanced approach to developing these criteria. Let me talk a little bit about residential allocations. Many of you are probably familiar with those, but in order to develop an undeveloped parcel in the Tahoe Basin, you need a residential allocation, which is kind of your development right in order to move forward with constructing a project on that property. The Tahoe Regional Planning Agency awards those residential allocations every 2 years to local governments. And El Dorado County is able to receive a maximum of 30, that's 30, residential allocations every year. So if we score well in the performance review system, we will be awarded all 30 allocations on an annual basis. And each of those 30 can then be constructed into a new residence in the Tahoe Basin on a buildable lot. The performance review system that TRPA manages has been around for some time, and it is a scoring system that each jurisdiction in the basin goes through. So the city of South Lake Tahoe, Placer County, et cetera, even on the Nevada side, goes through the same system. There are three scoring criteria within that performance review system. The first is on the total maximum daily load program, which is a water quality program to reduce pollutant loads to Lake Tahoe. The second is on permit monitoring and compliance for how well the community, for how well the county implements its memorandum of understanding with the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency to review applications, issue permits, and then perform compliance on building sites, construction projects in the Tahoe Basin. So we're audited on that every year. And now there's this third new criteria that's been added, which is on short-term rental neighborhood compatibility. That new criteria has three main sections to it, and those are locational items. So there's a series of locational criteria that TRPA would like the county's program to have. The second is operational criteria. So again, there's a series of operational criteria that the county needs to have inside of its ordinance or program. And the third is enforcement. So same thing there. There's a number of scoring points that we're going to need to meet for enforcement criteria that are within our VHR program. So the county has looked at its program, its ordinance, et cetera, and feels it can score fairly well in two of those three criteria, which are operational and enforcement. And we feel that we do need to add and build up the locational criteria within our vacation home rental program in order to receive at least 90 points out of 100 in the performance review system so that we can be awarded our 30 residential allocations every year. So that is why the locational criteria really are the main focus of these workshops. I guess that's not the main reason. We have, based on what Jennifer said and feedback from the community, balancing VHRs and neighborhoods to establish that neighborhood compatibility really is a goal of the counties. And now that this TRPA program has been implemented as of last year, it further defines that scope for us and makes it even more of a priority. So I'm going to go ahead and leave it there. I think that was enough detail on TRPA. I'm happy to answer questions. If you have specific ones, go ahead and type those into the chat box, and I'm happy to try to address some of these TRPA issues. So thank you.
Thank you, Brendan. Jennifer, I'm not sure where we're going next. Did Roger want to jump in on the legalities of where we're going here?
Yeah, hi. This is Roger Runkel.
Yeah, go ahead.
El Dorado County Council Office. I see a lot of questions in the chat, and I think the burning issue is when can VHRs open? So let me try to address that. A little bit of history here. It's a good question because it's not crystal clear. The county, of course, allowed its travel restriction a lot some time ago. Last Friday, June 5th, the state of California issued its industry guidance for opening hotels, lodging, and short-term rentals with a recommendation that that could not occur prior to June 12th, which would be this coming Friday. Again, last Friday, June 5th, our public health nurse issued a statement saying that once those businesses had developed their safety plans, that they could reopen after June 12th without further approval from the health department. However, if you watched the board meeting yesterday, I did, and you heard Dr. Williams say that she did believe VHRs could open Friday, June 12th for local residents. I would interpret that as El Dorado County residents and essential travel, but she was concerned that the state's non-essential travel ban remained in existence. So there's the tricky part of that question is, does the state still have a non-essential travel restriction that prevents out-of-county residents from renting, say, VHRs? That could change by Friday, the way things are changing every 24 hours, but that's the status right now. They certainly can open on Friday the 12th. The question probably remains on whether out-of-county renters could rent those properties. I can tell you that our discussions are that there is no plan for the county to, after Friday the 12th, to enforce any kind of a ban related to that travel. We will be enforcing our current VHR regulations effective that time. So I hope that answers that question. It's the best answer I can give.
Thank you, Roger. Yeah, you know, I had a lot of questions put forth to me about this opening on June 12th, because again, this is all coming from the county, or excuse me, from the state. The county had a couple of restrictions earlier. We had our own travel restriction, which was just mirrored from the state, but that has since ceased. So anything that is of a restriction is coming straight from the governor and his office. So that being said, last Friday, they came out with a new statement saying that any kind of lodging could open, and that was hotels, motels, campgrounds, and vacation rentals. Everything could open, but at the same time, the restriction to travel was going to stay in effect. So very confusing for everyone, needless to say. And again, I think, Roger, what you just pointed out was important for everyone to understand is that there's no enforcement going on at this point because it's just too confusing, number one. And secondly, you know, you have a lot of second homeowners that have already been coming up that needed to come up and take care of their cabins or whatever. And it's just been too difficult to figure this all out. And on top of that, we want to restart our tourism business in Tahoe. It's just, you know, at what point do we literally open the floodgates? And so we're trying to allow for people to come up to enjoy the basin. You know, usually 40% of our tourists are day travelers at any rate. And there's no restrictions for that other than as far as enforcements. So it's a mixed bag. And I wish we had a clearer process coming from the state. But at this point, that's where we're at. With that being said, vacation rentals are working. They're up and moving. And, and again, the hotels. And obviously the ones we've got, all of them in on the Nevada side are working. And just so you know, this travel restriction and the opening of all the tourist activity, that's true for Placer County, for El Dorado County, for Nevada County, and so it's a standard throughout the state. Just so everyone's aware of that. And I think there were some questions, Brendan. I don't know if you've taken a look at any of these questions we've had on the side. Do we have the ability? I think. At some point, we're going to go back over the survey results, I believe. Is there a way to put that back up on the on our screen?
Yes, yes. We'll do that.
Okay, great.
I couldn't see the questions, the comments coming in on chat when I was sharing my screen, so I paused it for a minute.
No problem. Yeah, that was one of the questions is, can we see the survey results? I'm going to turn it back over to you, Jennifer, then.
Okay, thank you. I will share those in just a minute. I just wanted to note that I sent the link to the guidance that we've received to everyone. Hopefully you can all see that. And that's kind of what I've been given to disperse to the group today. So hopefully that's helpful. I know it's pretty confusing for all of us, and hopefully that shines some light on it. And of course, our county health officer will continue to provide updates as we have them. So I know we have some other comments here. I'm going to go through the feedback we received, and then we'll take a look at more comments and questions.
I know one question was, where can we get someone was asking about the government COVID regulations. If you go to their website, it's covid19.ca.us. If you go to their website, they have up to date the restrictions and their guidelines for those that are businesses that are no longer under restriction. If you see your business in there as a under a guideline, that means that you are allowed to open with those guidelines. We were saying that most of them are opening starting this Friday. So I'm sorry, go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so our SurveyMonkey results. The questionnaire was sent to our contacts from the sign-in sheet. From previous meetings, and our list of VHR owners, operators, and local contacts. That may have been how you heard about these town halls. So we tried to disperse it to as many people as we could. It was also, the link was also posted on the social media outlets. So who responded to the questionnaire? We had 181 responses total when I closed that questionnaire, which was in order to compile these results. Approximately 72% of the responses, they described themselves as a local resident. And I'm aware now, you know, that we really should always leave that option available to click multiple responses to that question, because I know a lot of local residents are also vacation or second home owners. Many of them may be property managers or business owners as well. So we'll correct that going forward. About 29% said they're vacation or second home owners. 7.2% indicated that they are property managers, and 17% indicated business owners. So that's kind of where we're looking when we see these responses. Our first question was, how much do you support or oppose instituting a separation distance between CHRs, a buffer, like what Emma from our county GIS showed? For example, of 300 feet in order to reduce or prevent clustering of VHRs, which we've heard is one of the main issues here. So you can see there's a lot of people that strongly support it and a lot of people that strongly oppose this option, and a lot less people that are kind of somewhere in between. And that's generally what we see on vacation home rentals in general. There's very strong opinions on both sides. So it makes it difficult for us to come up with a good solution that will help everyone, but we're going to continue asking for comments on these so we can really dig into what is needed. Question two, how much do you support or oppose instituting a limit to the number of large VHRs, such as those with an occupancy of over 12. So we've discussed an overall cap to vacation home rentals in the past, but we're also looking at what should be done, if anything, on these large VHRs, many of which are homes that are built for the sole purpose of becoming a very large vacation home for renting out. And so we see that there's a lot of support for something to this effect. A little over 45%, it looks like, and then still quite a few indicated that they strongly oppose that. Question three, how much do you support or oppose instituting additional requirements for large VHRs? Such as those with an occupancy of over 12, even more strong support for this question. And that could be, this could be requirements that maybe in another, for another type of land use, we would require a conditional use permit for. So we don't know exactly what those requirements would look like, but the idea would be that rather than requiring a conditional use permit for a large VHR, which those permits get a little bit hard to administer because they do run with the land, whereas vacation home rental permits do not run with the land. They are specific to each owner of the home. So rather than going down that road, if we just could identify what specific problems there are with those large VHRs that maybe the small ones don't have, then maybe we could include those for VHRs with an occupancy of over 12. Question four, how much do you support or oppose instituting a cap on the total number of VHRs? And this has been a question we've been asking since the beginning in 2018, even I think prior to the ad hoc committee being established, and we always want to keep tabs on where the community's at on this. So again, it's very split, strongly support. There's a lot of people that strongly support and almost as many strongly oppose. Question five, if a cap on the total number of EHRs were instituted, which option would you most support? So this is kind of trying to get into what ballpark number might be most palatable to the community. So the first option there is a number of EHRs similar to what we have now. The second one there is a lower number than the total, so a bit higher rank there, close to 30% of respondents. The fourth option, a higher number than what we currently have, that was the least popular option. And then finally, we got the most votes for I don't support a cap of any kind. Question six, would you support incentives to locate VHRs near transit stops or tourist amenities? And this is an idea that came from CRPA and something we just wanted to ask about because we're considering all of their options for us in order to meet their criteria. And I just wanted to, you know, put that question out there. It seems pretty split, yes and no. We probably need to be more specific is what I'm thinking here. But it looks like there could potentially be an opportunity for incentives, and staff will work with TRPA to see what incentives might look like. Okay, so we were going to go over renewal permits in that process, but I think I'm going to stop here and see what else we have in the chat bar. Supervisor Novosel, is there anything you want to address right now?
Let me go back here. There was one question about calling the sheriffs if there's an issue. I do want to say real quickly that Host Compliance is going to be starting a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline they're going to be installing, and that will help with all the complaints and all the issues. I'm hoping that really bumps up our enforcement. They've been at it, just so you know, it's a third-party contractor that has been working with over, I think over 300 different entities and jurisdictions throughout the country with helping with enforcement and compliance issues. And so we're very excited to get them moving forward. And again, that's one of the things they'll be doing is there'll be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline that they're going to be establishing that will be able to help with complaints. So that was one of the questions. If you see anything else in there, talking about the West Shore communities, I've had a lot of concerns. If you look at our map on vacation rentals, we have quite a few vacation rentals up in the Tahoma area and that area. They are going to be having the same regulations that we have down here in the South Shore. I feel it's important that we have what's considered a Tahoe ordinance. That's what this is all about. It's all different on the West Slope going towards Placerville, but on the but in the Tahoe Basin, we're trying to get our ordinances in order that makes sense for neighborhood compatibility and the TRPA requirements, which is not just unique for us in the South Shore, but all over the basin. Jennifer, there was something about, there was a question about fire inspections. I don't know, do we have the fire inspections going again?
Yes, this is Rob Peters, Deputy Director of Planning. My understanding, so I can speak to that and when I come up.
Okay, great. Perfect.
There was a question on here that I saw asking for the link to the county ordinance, so I'm going to try to post a link. Hopefully this works and everyone can click on that.
Yeah, and so you know on that, if you just go Google El Dorado County Vacation Ordinance, Vacation Rental Ordinance, it should come up with our website, which is edcgov.us, then you can go into our website there. That's our home webpage, and on there, there is a link for vacation rentals, and it has all the what you're going to be going into, the permit process, how to get permits, At this time, we don't have any caps on permits. It's, you know, you put in an application, you do a pre-inspection, you have your local contact go through the required program and take the test, and then you get a permit, and then we keep an eye on the responsibilities such as that. So I think there's more questions here. Jennifer, is there anything in particular? I'm trying to scroll down here and see if there's anything in particular that we needed.
So somebody was asking with regard to the SurveyMonkey results, how many people filled out the survey. We had 181 folks fill out the survey, and so the percentages are on there based on that. When you took the survey, you had to answer each question. So when you look at those percentages, it's a percentage of the 181.
Right. Okay. Do you want to go on to Rob? Is Rob ready? Or
I am.
Okay.
So I think that Jennifer will be sharing a screen. Hello, everyone. This is Rob Peters, Deputy Director of Planning. The VHR permitting responsibilities fall within my staff's workload. So, you know, one of the things that I was asked to sort of highlight for this meeting was renewal permits. And so, you know, what I had hoped to kind of say about the renewal permits was 2019 was the first year that the planning department was really processing permits with regard to the transfer from the treasurer tax collector to planning. That happened in late 2018. 2019 was sort of our first year in processing applications, 2020 being the second. So as of January, we revised our application. And so this application handles both new VHR submittals as well as renewal submittals. But one of the things that we wanted to bring up, it's a new form. It has a lot of information on it. But one of the key parts of it is to try to vet out the renewals and streamline that process. So we, again, in January of 2020, we updated the application. This is just a sort of a screenshot of what that looks like. And if you could go to the next page, please. So you can see these are the checklists, and that's, I wanted to kind of highlight the updated checklist. For a renewal application, it's become less onerous, and some of those include just the checks that are for a fire inspection and processing fees. So we're down to, you know, a handful of items, four, I believe, that are actually tangible items that have to be submitted for a renewal application. So that's different than what happened in 2019 when we asked for sort of, you know, a whole new application, if you will, to try to get all of the information related to the VHR permits so we could kind of create a baseline for those permits moving forward. So I feel like this new streamlined renewal process is really going to help folks get through the process quicker with less submittal requirements, and help our staff process those quicker and be more responsive. There was some questions about total number of permits, so I wanted to run down that real quick. Currently, we have 477 active permits, so that's permits in active status. We have another 349 that are in one form or another being processed. So those statuses include either complete, meaning that they've submitted all the information, planning has reviewed it, and now typically those are waiting for the fire inspections. We have incomplete, which means additional materials need to be submitted. And then we have submitted, which means it's been submitted to the county, but we haven't processed yet. So to give you an idea of some of those numbers of that 349, 283 of those are new VHR applications. So there's quite a few that are in process. 166 of those are complete, 74 incomplete, and 43 in submitted status. The other part of that 349 is that we currently have 66 renewals in-house. So 18 of which are complete, 15 of which are incomplete, and 33 that have been submitted and are being processed. So, I just wanted to, I know, hopefully that's not confusing, but if you look at the totality of it right now, 477 active, 66 of the permits we're processing are renewals, so that won't change the active status of those permits. But then, we have another 283 approximately that are in review, which would give you a total somewhere in the 760 total VHRs. So that is sort of the totality of the program at the beginning of June here. We run the numbers. These are reflected in the VHR map that we went over in the last town hall meeting. And as Sue mentioned, and there was a question in the chat box with regard to fire inspections, my understanding is that the fire inspections have resumed. I talked to my staff about that very question before the meeting. It sounds like Lake Valley has started within the last 2 weeks doing fire inspections, and Meeks Bay, which are the two sort of the biggest ones up there for VHRs that we deal with, has started this week. So those fire inspections are going to be moving forward, and a lot of those 184 or so that are waiting for those inspections so they can be given their certificate would be moving forward hopefully soon. So that's what I had to add. And again, I'll be looking at the chat box and try to jump in where I can to help answer any questions folks might have. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Rob. Jennifer, do you have a, and I'm sorry, I don't have my slides here with me. Are we at the end of the presentations?
We are. So if you have anything else to add, Supervisor Novoselle, we can do that. And we can take a look at the chat function to see what other questions we can address right now.
Okay, yeah, I think we're getting a lot of questions about licensing, in particular, there seems to be, I think because a lot of the, and I'm just guessing, but, since vacation rentals were not renting out and fire inspections were not happening, that we still have a lot of motions of people trying to get their, either get their license permitted or have decided not to renew yet because the season hasn't even started. So because I know we were up to, I believe it was around 700-800 licenses last year just in the Tahoe Basin, and that's the majority of our vacation rental licenses are in the Tahoe Basin. We have about 100 or so outside of the Tahoe Basin that we get, mostly in Apple Hill area over on the West Slope. So with that being said, I know that there were questions about licensing and TOT and all that. And again, a lot of those questions can be answered if you go to our website. It's pretty thorough on our question and answers there. But Jennifer, is there anything you see there in particular or anybody else? Just jump in here.
This is Rob Peters again. I wanted to add something, and it was that, there's been a lot of things happening with related to VHRs and a lot of things changing. So we are currently looking at updating our website, updating our frequently asked questions, some of the resources. And so we're going to kind of do a wholesale look through our VHR website. We feel like it has a lot of really good information now. We're going to try to improve that. And look for upgrades to the website coming soon. We wanted to make sure that we weren't spending all our time constantly updating it because a lot of things were in flux, but we feel like it's a good time to try to update information, provide more resources to folks, and things like our frequently asked questions and whatnot. So those will be coming soon.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. Yeah, and I think, a lot of this is, where do we go from here? We did that short survey. When we started talking about locational and talking about, TRPA's requirements of neighborhood compatibility, what we thought we'd do is bring back at a level of this town hall meeting type of situation is bring this to the public and ask opinions and in a reasonable amount of time, say 3 or 4 of these town halls, try to collect enough information on what's important to our community and our neighbors who are living in these neighborhoods to get an idea between that and the businesses that work in these areas. What makes sense? Where's the balance? And how can we get that compatibility to work? So we're about middle of the process here. My recollection, if we think that maybe we can have a couple more town halls, and I'd certainly like to bring in host compliance, a presentation either by them or by our staff, and talk about the new and improved enforcement that you will be seeing in your neighborhoods, because I think that's been important. We were hoping to get host compliance on years ago, and it's just taken a long time to set it all up. But as I say, if you look them up on Google, you'll see that they have years and years of experience of working as a third-party contractor with lots of jurisdictions, and they have the ability to share with us their professional opinion, third-party opinion on what makes sense in communities. So I'm hoping that our next town hall, we can kind of hopefully take a look at, you know, what's worked and what hasn't, and where we can go locationally, because there's a few different ideas that were brought up, especially at the TRPA level. I chaired the local subcommittee that dealt with putting this threshold together and this locational threshold. I'll tell you, that's why there's a lot of suggestions on the threshold, ideas of, you know, using transit, town centers. It's just very difficult, obviously, in our county, because in the unincorporated area of El Dorado County, not the city, but in the unincorporated area of the county, we don't have much as far as town centers. We have one. It's the Myers, and it's Myers Town Center is within 2 mile radius area. So it's very limiting. So how do we set up neighborhood compatibility with some of the suggestions that TRPA came out with when we don't have that ability? Talk about transit again. Someone was mentioning, what kind of transit do we have in the unincorporated area? Well, not a whole lot, and we don't have control over it either. That comes from the Tahoe Transportation District. Yes, I sit on the board, but it's that's a board of all the jurisdictions, not just us. And so it's difficult, because we've tried to get transit out to Myers, but it hasn't worked a few times they've tried it. And so to require having transit center next to you is another suggestion for locational, and that's difficult. So, these are issues we still need to work out and figure out how to get to that neighbor compatibility and also reach our requirements so that we can get our building allocations, but more importantly, that we keep our neighborhoods in a compatible, balanced arena. So there's no easy answer, obviously, and I can tell you that. I've been working on this for most part of 3 years, taking a look at all the issues that surround vacation rentals, and there's, in my mind, there's a balance to be had somewhere. We just need to find out exactly where that is by talking to you and to talking to professionals such as host compliance and trying to figure out what the best balance is. So with that, if there's anything else there from the staff, I don't know if you've taken a look at any other questions, if there's anything there that you need to address.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I'll address quickly, and then I'll let any other panelists go ahead and see what else they want to answer. Just really quickly, I was going to share my screen again, because we got a question about where the results are posted. And so I just wanted to show everyone. This is the Vacation Home Rental homepage. If you just Google El Dorado County Vacation Home Rentals, I believe it's the first link that pops up. And under what's new here, this is where we try to keep any recent links. So there's quite a bit on this webpage. As you can see, there's a lot of information, but if you are looking for information on the town halls that we're doing or posting those here right now. So right here is the responses to the post town hall questionnaire. And if you click on that, it will take you to the survey results. And hopefully, look, there it is. So this gives you a nice dashboard. You can go through here and take a look. And then this last question was, please, not really a question, please share any other comments or questions you have below. And we had 97 answer this one. This is the only question I believe that we allowed participants to skip in answering. So these comments are always pretty eye-opening. It really shows you the diversity of opinions on this issue. And we did look through these. I read through all of these that we got, and we'll continue trying to disseminate information based on questions we received. And we, as always, consider your comments and appreciate you taking the time to provide those comments.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody asked how Measure T fits into this. You know, that Measure T is a city, not a county ordinance or a regulation, if you will. So it doesn't have anything to do with us in the county, although it will have an effect upon the county at some point in time. So we're obviously keeping close tabs on what happens within the city, which is where that is. Again, we're just talking about the unincorporated area of El Dorado County. The city of South Lake Tahoe is their own jurisdiction when it comes to requirements for vacation rentals or any of the such. So kind of a different, I know it gets confusing, but what you just showed up there, Jennifer, on the screen, it's a very helpful page. If you can get to that, please take a look at that. It has a wealth of information there, and I believe it goes back to some of our original ad hoc committee meetings, some of the discussions there we had years ago, and we've come a long way. And again, I'm very excited to have Host Compliance come on. And again, I would love to get some information and be able to share with you either through them or through our staff what they do, because they do compile information, statistics. They have a lot of information. They actually came up to Tahoe, gosh, it's almost been 3 years ago, for a Tahoe Prosperity Center summit, economic summit, and did a presentation that was great that talked about how their ideas on how to regulate and where to go as far as the industry goes. And it was very, very thorough in their research. So I'm happy to have them on board, and I think they're going to be a big help for us. All right, Brendan, Roger, Rob, anything there?
Yeah, this is Rob. I wanted to add, there was a couple questions specific to individuals' property. And so we will certainly try to capture that, and I will try to have staff respond to that as a general inquiry related to their permit processing. Because I don't have it all in front of me to kind of do research and give status and whatnot. So we will try to capture those and get responses from our planning staff. The other part I wanted to add, I saw some comments about things being different on the West Slope and whether there would be, requirements or waivers and things. We're certainly all aware here that there's differences between what's going on in the Tahoe Basin and the West Slope, and just the sheer number of BHRs in Tahoe versus the rest of the county. So as we move forward, we will certainly explore how we address those sort of individually within the same ordinance, or what that looks like, a split ordinance. But, what we're talking about with relating to locational really is specific to the Tahoe Basin and doesn't lend itself for the West Slope, really, because we don't have the density of VHRs. And so we're certainly aware of it, and we will consider it as we move forward. So I just wanted to add those.
Rob, there were questions about extra bedrooms, specifically, I know there was one here about a trailer being put on and used as a VHR in somebody's house. Can you answer that, or is there someone that can answer that quickly?
I didn't see it, but I don't believe that a trailer constitutes a vacation home rental in our ordinance. So I can search back through, but my initial reaction is no. It has to be either the residence. The structure, I don't believe that a trailer can constitute as a VHR. If there was a modular home, I'd have to do some looking into that, because that may be a different circumstance where it's the primary residence. But I will have to look into that related to the trailers.
Right. Yeah, and I know we've had quite a discussion at TRPA level because I'm on the TRPA governing board, and quite a bit of discussion about ADUs, accessory dwelling units, which brought in trailers and a lot of discussion about tiny homes and all. And I think the idea is that really in the basin, we're trying to get a lot of that type of use for is more for workforce affordable housing. And, you know, can we use that for that, that process? Because that's where we really are in the need of our moderate to low income housing. And, that was the discussion we're having is using that for ADUs and such. So I believe what we're talking about is possibly banning the use of ADUs for vacation homes per se, and using them for affordable housing. Certainly a big part of our discussions lately. Okay, Roger or Brendan, anything?
Yeah, this is Roger. I want to add one more thing. I saw a couple questions about where owners get guidance for their safety plan, and I think Jennifer provided that link earlier. It's the California Department of Public Health website, COVID-19 Industry Guidance for Hotels, Lodgings, and Short-Term Rentals. So that's your guidance on what your safety plan should be. And I also saw some questions about what you do with that safety plan. I don't think that's as clear. I think the point is you have to develop one and have one. I don't know that you have to send it into the county for approval. That, to me, is not part of the current guideline.
Right. Okay, good. Good clarification. Brendan, anything?
Yeah, this is Brendan. I've been responding directly to people with relevant questions in the chat.
Yep. Okay, good.
So hopefully that's helpful. You know, I'm available anytime if anyone wants to send me an email on questions they have particular to Tahoe issues. I'm happy to do that.
And I know there was one about consideration of vacation rental owners to become long-term rentals. And yes, there's a group in South Shore right now. The name escapes me, but that's exactly what they're looking. They've contacted Vacation Home Rentals for the past year or so, and I believe they've been successful in over a dozen properties of actually changing them from short-term rentals to long-term rentals. And so, yeah, that is out there. And it's really great to see that we have that process moving forward because, again, we're trying to hit all of the housing issues that we can. And vacation rentals make up a stock of and we did this years ago statistically, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but it was somewhere between 10 and 12% of the total housing stock were vacation homes, short-term vacation homes. Of course, they're second homeowners, and we tend to kind of get that confused, but there's quite a few more second homes that people buy as their second home, but they don't rent them out. The actual vacation rentals is, I believe, around 10, 12%.
Right. They're okay. Called Tahoe Home Connection.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, they're working on moving those short-term rentals into long-term rentals. It's a great, great program.
Yep.
Anything else?
We did get a question I just wanted to quickly address. I probably wasn't super clear on it in my portion of the presentation. It was, how did the ad hoc committee address the neighborhood compatibility of concentration of use and TRPA's recommendations of density. And it's asking, you know, whether that was resolved. And the answer to that is no. We, we focused on that first objective and really wanted to get an updated ordinance in place that did not address objective two, because we wanted to focus on increasing those regulations so that, I mean, really the objective was that BHR owners and property managers would be able to self-regulate. So as much as possible in the ordinance, you'll see kind of reporting requirements and, you know, you have to take that test in order to be a certified local contact. So we tried to remove as much as possible resources needed by the county to do the enforcement. And then really just getting this new program set up because of all the new requirements and the change in how we're going to administer the program. We focused on that a lot. And then the idea was that we would move on to objective two. So staff put together some information for the board to consider, but then by the time we were kind of ready for more feedback on that, we got this kind of new, we were introduced to the TRPA regulations and really needed to wait on those to come out before we could address objective two so that we didn't institute something that didn't meet those requirements. So the answer to the question is it has not been resolved, and that is part of the focus of these town halls, is to try to both complete that work on objective two as well as address TRPA regulations. And then, Brendan, there was one question that I thought was a good one, and I kind of have myself, so let us know if you can answer this. It was, do you have to score well each year to get allocation? And I think that's referring to TRPA's scoring.
So, yes, the answer is the county has to score every year above a 90 in all three of the categories that I spoke of. So, total maximum daily load, water quality program, we have to score above a 90 every year. We're evaluated by TRPA. Our permit compliance, and now neighborhood compatibility. So we have to, you know, have these things in place and demonstrate compliance every year in order to be scored appropriately to get our allocations.
Yep, very good. And, you know, and a 90 out of how many? I guess someone's going to ask that question.
90 out of 100.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
So this is a third layer to these the criteria that TRPA has every year with the county. They want us to make sure that we are keeping the lake clear and improving the clarity of the lake by doing our stormwater work. There's quite a few other thresholds, but this is again a relatively new one, is a neighborhood compatibility threshold. It's the third out of all the ones they've had throughout the years, so it's all new. So we are definitely in the midst of working on this and trying to get this right. There's some objective. We are trying to get data as much as we can, and again, I'm looking forward to talking to host compliance and getting their data and finding out what's worked and what hasn't throughout the industry, because they have a unique perspective on that. So looking forward to that. So again, this is going to be continuing on. We're going to be continuing on probably two more town halls, what I'm thinking, and taking a look and talking and trying to get as much data as possible. And data, by that I mean like talking to other jurisdictions and understanding what's worked and what hasn't, and where we can go. And that's why we've got Roger here too. Roger is our legal eagle. And it's important that when we do it and make sure that that we have everybody's interest at heart. It is truly a balancing act. Anybody else?
Yeah, so we have some questions on here that are asking questions about what seems like to me best practices and kind of how, as an owner or a property manager, to help meet the requirements of the ordinance. And one thing that staff has talked about, and it's just an idea at this point, we don't have much information on it or know whether it would be feasible, but one idea was that potentially we would have a training or workshops for owners and property managers to go through the rules of the ordinance, go over best practices, maybe have some feedback from those in the industry that feel that they kind of have a handle on what's required, and have a place where everyone can learn from each other on these things. So I think that's one question I'm going to put in our follow-up survey that will go out to all the participants tonight is just a question on whether anyone would be interested in such a thing if the county were to be able to pull it together.
You know, and along those lines, Jennifer, I've had quite a few people make a suggestion of, you know, how we get a local contact. Is a local contact somebody who lives here and works in the industry, or just your maid, or, you know, your house cleaner, or whomever? You know, I have heard in the past some conversation from other jurisdictions that have required, and they do require, a local contact to be a professional rental agency, or in the profession of using these vacation rentals. So that might be a good question to ask. What's the attitude of doing that? And then the other I'd like to ask more questions on would be the larger VHRs. It seems like we do have some a fair amount of people that are interested in looking at limitations to the larger vacation rentals. You know, how large is large? What are we talking about there as far as limiting how many big those McMansions, you know, are, is that something that people have a taste in wanting to make sure that we limit, and how do we limit them? That's more that locational that we really need to be bringing up here sooner than later. Okay. Brendan, Roger, anybody? Any other questions? Jennifer, do we have an idea how long that survey, the new survey would be? I know that was one of the questions. How many days was the survey available? When we put out a new survey, what is your guesstimate here?
So the survey, my thought was that we would put the survey out with the follow-up email that goes out through Zoom, and it will come into your inbox about 24 hours after the end of this webinar, and so we'll make sure that our questions that we would like in there are included in that survey when it goes out. As far as how long it would be open for, I think we can discuss that unless you have an idea of how long you'd want it open. Supervisor Novosel, we can close it whenever we'd like. Sometimes it's helpful to not leave it open too long so that we can really take a look and analyze the results that we get, but I know it takes some time for folks to get to sometimes. So I think about a week is a good timeline, but we can discuss that.
Sure. And then the other one would be, somebody asked about city respondents. How do we know? Is there a way to, you know, ask people where they're responding from? Obviously, we have vacation rental owners or businesses that may live in the city or in a different area that are interested in taking the survey, but it might be helpful. I don't recall whether we did that on this survey, but just ask, you know, what area they're from so we can get an idea of kind of where respondents are based out of.
Yep, we can definitely add that.
Okay, all right, good. Okay, and I'm trying to scroll down here as I'm talking to see if there's any new questions.
This is Rob. I just wanted to acknowledge I saw a couple comments related to getting some data and understanding some trends. So acknowledged. We've seen the comments. We didn't have any to prepare for this meeting, but certainly I've seen that more than once, and so we'll be looking at how we can maybe prepare some of that information.
That'd be great, because, you know, I do think it is important to be data-driven, and as much data as we can get, that'd be great. And one of the other questions I saw is this being recorded? Yes, it is. I imagine, Jennifer, we're going to probably put that up on our website there, too, I'm guessing.
Yes, they will. It takes us a little bit of time just because they're large files, but we'll work with IT to get that up. And it'll go in the same area as the first recording there,
right?
On the VHR webpage.
Right. Good. All right. Good. So, are there any other questions or that we have not answered as far as looking at? I'm still going back over here. So I don't see any. Is there anything else from the staff? Not hearing any. I would think that probably now is a good time to wrap up. Want to tell you that, yes, we're going to be consolidating all these questions and getting them out. If you want to go over the logistics on how they do that again, Jennifer, that'd be great. Give everybody an idea where to go and how to get this information. And obviously let everybody know that when you do go out and contact everybody, that we will be adding in their information about when our next town hall will be. And we'll be, again, trying to talk about more data and about more of those issues out of the surveys and where we go next. So anything else?
Yes. That's when you signed up for the webinar, there was a link in it that allows you to sign up for the mailing list. If you received an email from me inviting you to join the webinar tonight, then you are already on the list. But I know that we have some that have probably found us through social media outlets or through other means. So if you'd like to get updates from us, you can sign up for that mailing list and I'll add you in. And then as I pointed toward a little bit ago, we have that what's new section on the VHR webpage that we keep as up to date as possible. So the links and things that are pertinent will be placed there. And you all have my email address, I think, through Zoom. And you can always send me an email if you have questions about where to find something or about what is going on.
Yeah, and again, if you have questions that have to do with COVID, I see there's a couple of late questions on that. Understand that all the COVID guidelines and regulations are being being processed and going through our state. The county does not make those guidelines. That is the state of California. So you need to go to their website. And if you have a particular business you're interested in, go down, scroll down to their website on guidelines, and it'll explain some of those regulations and requests they give to all the businesses. And that's at covid19.ca.us, I believe it is. And if we can put that up on the response there, that'd be great. But we are, as of Friday, the state of California is going into a guideline allowance, allowing tourism and allowing homes and hotels and campgrounds all to open, but there's still a travel ban. And we understand it's very confusing, but that's what we have at this moment. We expect any time that there'll be more clarification. But, as far as we understand it right now, as of Friday, hotels, vacation rentals, campgrounds are all open for rent. But, again, because of the travel ban on non-essential travel, unless you are an essential worker, you're not supposed to be traveling out of your area. So I realize that's really confusing. It's confusing for us too. But again, we're just repeating what state has. So please go to the state website and hopefully they'll be sharing more clarity on that in the next day or two. So with that, I think we can wrap up and I can say thank you to everybody. Thank you to my staff. And thank you all to all the attendees for being here tonight. And again, we will be sharing this information. We've recorded it. We'll be sharing your chat. And we look forward to the next conversation that we have at the next town hall meeting, which we'll get that information out to you as soon as we can get going on them. All right. Thank you all.